We're the Night Shift Bandits. Join us and our sister podcast, Perspective Discussions, where they talk about love, life, and relationships on any platform that you can find podcasts. Also, like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have a Twitch channel, and you can donate to us on our GoFundMe and Patreon, where you can help us bring you better content. Our link tree is down in the description. Thanks for joining us.
Vampires, werewolves, zombies, and that crazy, hazy, wild, creepy, spooky key tree of categories, subcategories, and lookalikes. There's a lot to do with supernatural creatures throughout culture and history. Can't begin to do them all, but you gotta start somewhere, and that's what we're doing here today. So come join us here as we punch the clock in. We're the Night Shift Bandits, and we're talking about some all those creepy, crawly, supernatural creatures that we all know. And starting us off,
it's me here, your professor, Zach.
Master Honor Thomas. We're talking about some really crazy stuff today.
And of course, I am Brian, the cool guy, joining with everyone today. How y'all doing?
Hello. Welcome. As we enter your ear holes, you know, we just want to say that we love you.
Speak for yourself, creep.
Hey, I just want to make sure my audience knows that we love them. Like, we love you, audience.
Yeah, but I love you all too. It's just don't come to my house.
Yeah, don't come to my house, or else I'll send Willie Graham of the Fourth Ward to attack you.
I was trying to not say anything through this whole thing, and you had to mention that man. Which is funny because of the end of that trailer for Guilty Gear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about that man, Willie Green, a.k.a. Oscar R. Crutz. But no, for real, guys. Speaking of Oscar R. Crutz, we're talking about supernatural characters, which, would he be supernatural? He's a magician. He's a wizard.
He's using magic.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. He's using magic.
But isn't magic, like, in that world, a derivative from science?
It is, but that's because regular science was like, oh, we're gonna go wild and kill everything.
Which is kind of funny, because the exact opposite happened in the Blaze Blue universe, from what I understand.
They're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Like, literally. I mean, I have my own theory about those two universes living in the same, like, multiverse.
Oh, actually, every game is in a multiverse with every other game.
But it's like what Rick and Morty discussed. It's like on this side of the curve, you have like the Guilty Gear side, and then a few universes down, it blends into Blaze Blue.
Yeah, I want to play a game that's like that middle ground between both of them.
Well, I mean, sure, you got something close. You got Crosstag Battle.
There are no Guilty Gear characters in there.
Yeah, we can count Ragna. Because Ragna's probably just Soul.
He probably is just Soul.
He's literally probably just Soul in a different universe.
Which means that Jin is just Kai, but crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ragna's just Soul, but nerfed.
See, Jin isn't crazy. It's because he was possessed by two different beings.
So Dizzy possessed Kai in this world, and that's what happened. Okay.
Well, that's not really, because one of them was a sword. The other one was just Taramie being Taramie.
Okay,
I believe I remember Thorgy's video correctly.
Okay, so the Lightning Seal had a personality and took over Kai, and yep. Then something else let's say one of those spirits that inhabited Abba or Zappa inhabited Kai, and that also made him crazy. Okay, cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like literally. Yeah, I can make sense out of Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue.
But what if we threw Under Night in Birth in that? Then what?
You shut your damn mouth.
Throws a wrench all in your plan.
That throws a wrench into reality. I mean, we're not here to talk about them.
I mean,
kind of. They
mean,
kind of are supernatural beings.
Yes, supernatural beings. I mean, we talked about Zappa for a little bit, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And then you have Batman question mark.
I do like Batman.
Yeah, like is the bed possessed? We don't know.
I like how it's a puppet character, but you're controlling
the
puppet of the character. Who you? It's yeah. It's so great. It's so great. I love it.
I can't wait for that breakdown to come out. Like, I'm sorry, I'm using this as an excuse to talk about Batman. Or Batman?
Thank you.
Batman? Hey, did you defeat Batman?
That's a double question.
I defeated Batman.
I defeated
Batman?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
All right.
So
speaking of Batman.
Yes.
And question marks. Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
See how I did that? You love how I did that.
I see how you did that.
Yeah. Freddy Krueger. A pedophile that got off scot-free and was burned alive by the town because fuck all that.
I was about to say, he didn't really get off scot-free. He just got off scot-free through the legal system.
No, that's what I'm saying. He got off scot-free. That's what I mean. Like, he got off scot-free through the legal system because someone signed their name in the wrong area, which, how do you fuck that up?
That's exactly. You had one job, and it was to sign right there on the dotted line, and you chose to do under the dotted line.
Like, literally, you chose to write at the very top of the contract.
Like, bro, not saying that he did that. No, I know, but it's saying that say he did do that. This isn't like a high school paper you turn. You don't need to put your name at the top of the paper.
Nah, you don't. You really don't. You.
But he. I like how Freddy Krueger just. He gets killed by these people and then decides, you know what? Since I hate you all, I'm going to stay here and still torment your kid. That's how sick he is.
For sure. And like if Robert Englund, they got real creative down the line.
Yeah, they did. I actually stopped watching after like I think the second one, but I haven't seen him in over a decade. Yeah, it's been that long.
Yeah, I still remember. I remember vividly the one scene when, like, there was this. I forget what movie it was. There was this one kid who, like, made a comic. He was the weird, nerdy kid. And then Freddy got to him. And then it's like, it looks like he takes on the persona of the character he created. Which is like this weird Midnighter Punisher hybrid.
What? And
yeah, like, he called him the Prowler, and he just showed up. He just took this form, took out his comic book guns, and started blasting Freddy. And then Freddy comes back, and does the same thing. I forget, like, faster than a speeding maniac. It's Super Freddy. And it's just Freddy Krueger. Super buff, with a stupid symbol on his shirt and a cape, but he still has the same getup. And now he just is super powerful and is just turns the poor kid to a fucking paper cut, to a lame paper cut out of himself, and just slices into pieces.
I feel like I remember seeing that happen.
And then, like, yeah, like he got real creative with how he messed up those kids.
I mean, wouldn't you have to too? Because I mean, just like slitting a throat, stabbing them, drowning them, immolation—that's like, all like too common.
That one was memorable. But really, all of those deaths in that movie, like when like the kid passed out as when he was on his motorcycle. And then Freddy took him for a joyride and literally fused him to his motorcycle. And, like, not in the cool way. Like, all the metal and wiring and pipes all literally fused into his skin and, like, slowly burned him, cooked him from the inside out or something.
Like, yeah, that's not the fun way. I was thinking more like a Transformer, but, like, biologically.
No, like, he literally, like, the parts from the bike just started fusing with his body and burning him from the inside out.
Yikes.
All while going super fast, and the engine was revving up over 11.
I feel like I remember seeing that, too.
So, I don't even remember which one of this it was. I just remember all of these deaths happening very vividly. I don't even remember where I was watching it. Could have been in my cousin's house. Could have been some Halloween event. I don't remember.
Well, I just know that any time that I've seen any Friday the 13th movie. No, not Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Elm Street movie. It was at someone else's house.
Usually.
Yeah, like I know for me, at least like initially, because I mean I was young, and like rated R movies, you know, I really wasn't able to watch. But hell, I snuck and watched some of them anyway. Or if I went to a friend's house, I'd watch it. I know like the original, like I've at least seen like bits and pieces of, and very few like of the Freddy Krueger movies I've seen as a whole. It's always been like you said, a friend's house or. It was on TV, so, you know, they butchered it.
Oh, my God, did they butcher those TV? The TBS and TNT versions of those where it's something like, yeah, happy flippy, mother father.
Hey, I want these Monday through Friday snakes. Wait, no, I want these monkey fighting snakes off this Monday through Friday plane, which is my favorite.
That was a great one. But stuff like that, it was never... Like, you could always tell that they were swearing. I never understood why they wouldn't just let it fly.
I'm sorry. I loved it because you would always get, like, great gem as, like, bologna sandwiches, Thomas.
You know what? I did like when stuff like that happened. Like, when they got slapstick.
Like, when they got silly with it, that's when I laughed. And you could clearly see, like, the lip syncing was off. So you knew what they were saying.
Yeah.
But... I was like, "Jeez, Louise."
Oh man, that those were the days. I'm glad they don't do that anymore because, yes, it was terrible. I don't understand the need for censorship like that. Why even have a child watch that movie? If
we gotta save kids.
Yeah. Why? Like, if it's a rated R movie. Why change the rated R status so someone can watch it at home with their kids?
Right.
Never got that. But this is a side topic.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, I just want to bring up the cutest thing in the world real quick, Nezuko.
From Demon Slayer. I thought you were going to say Kirby.
I mean, technically Kirby's a supernatural character, because isn't he like some kind of god or something?
Yes, Kirby is a baby deity that has apparently an infinite universe inside of him.
Which explains everything.
It's why he can eat everything.
Literally everything.
Plus, he has no jaw bone, no internals to really deal with, so no gag reflex.
You know, you just described a horror monster, right?
No, I described a cute pink little ball of cuddly goodness.
No, you didn't. He has no jawbone. So he can eat you no matter how big or small you are. And if he eats you, you fall into an infinite universe.
Well, yeah. No. No, Kirby. No.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. I like how that little pink puffball just snuck his way into this list.
Yeah, as most pink puffballs do. Looking at you, Jigglypuff.
I was just thinking Jigglypuff. That damn marker.
But yeah, back to Nezuko. The cutest thing ever until she slices your face up. Or until she hits puberty in 5 minutes and kills you.
I don't want her blood on me.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, whoa, wait. I'm not a demon, so it's cool.
I mean, let's talk about the best super in the Demon Slayer game, the most beautiful one.
Oh, yeah.
Where Nezuko fucked you up with her own blood.
Like, that's actually, like, super impressive to the point where, okay, I'm going to fight this demon. I'm also a demon, but my blood kills other demons.
And don't worry, I mean, like, I won't lie, I have a biasness with Nezuko because she's my main. In Demon Slayer, in the Demon Slayer game, so I'm straight up biasness. But fuck you, Akaza. Nezuko's the best.
Okay, you have. I've never played the game, so
yeah,
I have no idea who's good and who's not. I would just be wanting to play with Renji.
Well, let me tell you this: Akaza's the best. How do I know? Because my brother played Akaza. You know how like I'm like a bully.
No, I don't know that at all.
Yeah, he's like a bully with Akaza. So, I'm like, oh, okay, I see how this is going.
Okay.
All right, Akaza, so, I hate you.
So, also, since Nezuko, like, kind of knows that sun-breathing technique.
Yeah.
Or some sun-breathing techniques because, you know, broken plot devices.
Of course, yes.
Anime. Isn't she like the if she eats a human, then she goes full demon. But if she doesn't eat a human, she gets to have all these cool powers, but not really able to like speak. Right?
Right. Like, because remember, she has that I forget what they call it, but she has that thing in her mouth.
Yeah, so, I forgot what it's called too.
Yeah, so she won't accidentally like bite. Pretty much like a muzzle. Like, she won't accidentally bite people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but if that thing gets broken, because, you know, she just kind of broke it herself. Spoiler for something that you knew was going to happen anyway.
Right. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
But when she breaks it, it's like, oh, right, she's a demon. That thing really wasn't stopping her to begin with.
Yeah. Technically. So, and plus it already broke anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, unless it's like a bunch of wisteria inside of it, in that case I'm like, okay, I get it.
But yeah, but I mean, all the demons in Demon Slayer are pretty cool. Like, I love how, I could just talk about Demon Slayer for real quick. I love how, like, so in other anime, right, when you have like your top 15 best guys that are on the enemy side. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's a tough fight, but like the heroes come out okay. Like, they'll come out with like a broken arm at best, you know?
Like some cuts, some bruises.
Yeah.
You know,
a new power up.
Oh, yeah, maybe a new power up.
Yeah.
Maybe one guy's lung collapsed at the most.
At the most. You know, maybe you're holding your left arm like Vegeta.
He is always coddling that left shoulder.
Yeah, it's either the left one or the right one.
It's his left shoulder.
Always. Every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. But the thing I like about the, I forget what he calls them exactly, but the one thing I like about the strongest, like the top 10 demons in Demon Slayer, is that each one of them, you don't know if the Hashira is going to come out dead or just alive. Like, you really don't know.
Like, yeah.
Like, the last, the endings to the last couple of arcs proves that.
Like, the whole thing with Renji, I didn't know if Renji was gonna survive that or not.
Right.
And then, the dude after that, I didn't think he was gonna survive that or not. I'm not spoiling anything, though. Go watch it. Find out for yourself if you haven't seen it.
I mean, go find out for yourself, but I will say spoilers real quick right here. So hop ahead, like, maybe 5 minutes. Good. Gone. All right. So when Uzui fought his demon, which for one, I won't lie, I would not mind seeing that in theaters when it comes out.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That fight was amazing. Because if you don't know, like, they're releasing the last two episodes of Entertainment District arc and then releasing one new episode of the new arc in theaters.
Wait, they're releasing one episode in theaters?
Yeah. Oh, there's a whole trailer.
I have been away from the news this week. Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I fucked with Demon Slayer.
Yeah, like, I saw the trailer. It was like, what, maybe a month or two old when I saw it. And it was in I don't remember. But it was a while, like, when it came out between when I saw it. Because I've been out of the loop, too. But, yeah, they're going to release the last two episodes. Which, I mean, if you've seen those last two episodes, that fight was bloody amazing. And that's the reason why, like, Uzui's, like, my favorite Hashira, at least at the moment. Plus they did Sound Ninjas right. And then they're going to release,
They really did. And also, I want to talk about that real quick, the sound thing. Whoever thought that sound was not going to be a viable tool in a fight, how are you going to move around with your eardrums busted?
Yeah, like, literally.
That's it.
So, you take away one of the senses.
If your equilibrium's fucked, it doesn't matter how tough you are. You're not moving.
Yep.
Unless you know how to fight like that, which most people don't.
Do not.
Yeah.
Do not.
You're definitely done. But yeah, like, a lot of the demons in there are heavy hitters. Like, when you see one of the upper class demons especially get on the scene.
Freaking Akaza.
Yeah, like, it's just.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Just, I'm sorry, the fight between the fire guy whose name I can never pronounce and freaking Akaza was amazing.
It was. It most definitely was. And the hell, like, the fight with Uzui and what was the name of that demon that he fought?
I forget.
I don't remember now. The name of
it when he fought
it was brother. Like the twins, right?
Yeah, they were twins, but the brother was the one that was
was the main body.
Yutaro, that's what his name was. Yutaro, he was upper six.
Well, like, they both fight. Were upper six. They were both upper six.
No, I thought old girl was they were twins, but no, I'm talking about the main fight with Yutaro, like, because, you know, that was the fight.
Oh yeah,
Yutaro,
that was the fight.
Yeah, and that fight was just fucking beautiful. Like, such a beautiful fight.
Yeah.
But, like, even with that fight, like, he gave him such a hard time, and he was already just, like, wounded. He just went in.
True. And
granted, he's out of commission at the moment. Like, he survives, but he's, like, he can't fight no more.
Oh, he really can't. He... We're already in spoiler territory. He lost an arm. he's not lifting two swords ever again.
Yeah. So,
for now.
But yeah, spoiler time's over. But yeah, like Demon Slayer is, they do a great job with their enemies and their demons. Like, you don't feel like in this next arc, we're definitely gonna lose another Hashira, I think.
I really hope not, but I don't see any other way around it.
Yeah. I mean, for one, we gotta make three slots.
True.
We have to make three open slots. True. Maybe four.
So, yeah. But after all that demon hunting, let's take a trip to Africa. Let's just talk about a cryptid real quick. I want to bring up one of the ones that I had. Actually, two of them, because they're just dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
One is called the Kangamato. It's from like around Zambia, the Congo, and Angola area. It's literally just a pterosaur. The entire description is that anyone who has been in that area that has seen one of these, and that's the people living there and people from outside of the area going there, seeing these things and saying, "What the hell is that? Oh, that's a Kangamato. No, that's a pterosaur. Nah." And then they go about the day. So apparently these things do exist, but I really don't know.
I mean, like, well, let's talk about this, right? Like, a lot of the gods, like, were based upon, like, the animals within the environment, missing legends from back in the day.
Yeah.
And, of course, exaggerated, right?
Exactly.
It's so maybe, not totally plausible that they had those beliefs based off. And you never know. Sometimes.
Yeah, you never really know.
Rainforest. Yeah. Now, in fairness, when you talk about rainforest ecosystems, most new species that get discovered are insects.
Usually. Like, they don't usually find anything that's like a large thing, because usually large things that die leave very large remains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unless they're like taking the remains somewhere else to be quote unquote buried, then yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of that why we don't see any of the remains.
Huh. Yeah, like if it's been like billions of years and we're just now and we're still discovering like those remains, like bones and stuff. I mean, I consider that to be luck. I won't lie. I consider that to be lucky as hell.
Oh, absolutely. Like if you understand how the earth moves, like most of the stuff that's buried deep is no longer there. Like the fossils that we find, we are so lucky to have those things.
Yeah, and I feel like we're only scratching the literal surface, because imagine what's deeper.
Yeah.
You know, like, imagine what's getting lost as it gets closer to the core.
Exactly. The more pressure that goes onto it, the more it melts down, the more it breaks down, and now it's gone. Think about how many civilizations we probably lost that way.
Yeah, like literally. Like, we have civilizations. I mean, they're either lost by war, or they just faded away, and... Mm-hmm. Both of which, you know, you probably have like remnants that are buried within our earth. And then time goes on, as earth moves, it's deeper and deeper.
Yeah. What were you saying, Bri?
Yeah.
Like the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Need to remind you that not even a decade ago, we discovered a new species of shark that washed up on the shores of Japan. Found its traces back into the deep ocean that was once believed to be prehistoric.
Yep.
That, you have to understand that when you go into the deep ocean, many oceanographers describe it as going back in time, because there have been many species that either can't thrive in any other environment down there, or there's some ecosystem, eco, or plant life, or sea life that were supposedly long extinct down there. So your theory is perfect. It's absolutely correct.
What was the name of that other fish? The coelacanth, I believe it is?
Yes, coelacanth is another example.
Yeah. So, there's still living fossils. I mean, technically crabs. Alligator.
Sea turtles are living fossils. How long lived they were?
Technically, yeah. You can put some whales into that too, or my favorite, squids.
I was just about to say squids.
Yeah, like squids are just like just a large squid, like a kraken, just fascinates me because I do want to believe that yes, there is just a big kraken living in the ocean, except it's just chilling at the bottom of the ocean.
I have no doubts that that is the case. There's just some big ass like over squid that's down there chilling, and whenever something big enough down there passes its way, it's like, hey, food. And I mean, we do see that there's a lot of whales that have like attack marks from something that looks like a squid, but it's too big for it to be a squid.
Or is it a squid, or is it Jorgenmonder?
It could be Jorgenmonder, or it could be the Leviathan. Or it could be the Kraken. It could be Charybdis. It could be so many different things from so many different mythologies. Like, yeah.
Like Jorgenmonder and Leviathan just down there chilling.
I could see them playing poker. No. Sorry, not poker. Uno.
Okay. So who would be around that Uno table? We got Leviathan. We got Jorgenmonder.
The Kraken, obviously.
Kraken's just cheating.
The Mizuchi.
Yeah, the Mizuchi. I think Nessie would be there, but like not wanting to be in for every hand.
Right.
There for the camaraderie.
Sobek would be there. He'll be hitting on all the chicks.
Mm-hmm. Then you also got what's some other one?
Amit.
Yeah. So many different ones. I don't want to go through them. But the other...
Namor.
Huh?
Namor.
Oh, yeah. Put Namor in there. With his little flappy foot wings. But the other one that I had that's also from like the same area is called the Grootslong. It's a brachiosaur. That's all it is. They gave a description that it has the body of an elephant with a snake-like tail and neck. That's really just a brachiosaur. So apparently, people still there were still dinosaurs on the African continent, like walking around.
Yeah.
As soon as like. I want to say the 1600s, 1700s. So, I mean, that'd be wild if just one day, you know, you just see a pterosaur fly by and, you know, grab a lion or something.
Right. And we have to remember, too, it's like, I want to say, at least in the span of this universe and in humanity, technically, we've only recently started really recording a lot of these animals, and even then, like when we first started, we weren't perfect with it.
Not at all. There was all sorts of descriptions, like it has the forked tongue of the devil. Look, it's no, just a lizard,
right?
Yeah, look no further than to like you know what the eye is, right?
I've heard of it. I don't remember exactly what kind of animal it is.
It's a species of lemur with one of the most disturbing appearances. And one of the most unusual anatomies in all the animal kingdom, especially among primates. It's like the world's ugliest primate. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bat that had its wings and fur ripped off.
And ow.
Was put onto the body of a spider monkey. And yeah. And then you have to look at earlier drawings of how they looked by explorers because they didn't have good lighting back then. And they had different interpretations of what they were like. But then you see them up close, like Nosferatu.
Mm. Like, oh, yeah. That whole thing where people saw the receding teeth from the gum, so they thought they were the fangs, and they thought their nails grew because...
I'm talking about the original movie Nosferatu.
Oh, and okay.
The guy's teeth had that weird, like buck teeth out of hell. And that's exactly what an eye's teeth, front teeth are like, man.
It's kind of like an anglerfish, too, then.
Not quite. Earlier recordings of animals are so much different and like so much left up to really their own biases rather than concrete data and research.
Right.
At least looking at the earliest. But I just thought the eye would be a good example since we're on the topic of creatures and everything.
No, that's good. Because, I mean, like, you can throw salamanders into that sort of thing, too. Because people thought that salamanders were creatures that came from fire because they lit logs on fire and didn't know salamanders were living in them. So the salamanders were just like, oh, my house is on fire. Let me leave.
But back to the whole supernatural characters deal. Since we're in Africa, I guess we can. I can make a quick mention to Sobek.
Yeah,
like the most badass crocodile in all of the land.
Yeah, I mean he even has a League of Legends character made in his image.
And I'm pretty sure he's in Smite.
I believe so.
I think he's probably in Smite. I don't play Smite like that, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's in Smite. If he's not in Smite, you're fucking up.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, like, the reason why I love Mobek is because mainly he represents power, military prowess, fertility. Like, I believe I read somewhere that, and I could be wrong, but like, I believe I want to say I read somewhere where, like, he, even though he's, like, one of the types of fertility and likes to do his thing, he has no kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the god of pulling out. Yeah, like, let me do a quick wiki search, but I'm pretty sure he has no children.
Pull out game immaculate.
Yeah, like, you're the god of pulling out. Congratulations.
That's wild. That's absolutely wild.
Yeah, like, let's see, Sobek kids. That just sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon with all the Egyptian gods
right around.
Sobek kids.
Sobek alive.
Okay, so it says here he might be the father of Khonshu. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe he might be the father of Khonshu.
Okay, so so he's the dead bird's dad, so...
Yeah, and that's a big maybe from what I'm reading here.
So you're saying it's like a 35% chance that he is the father?
Maybe. He might be.
Okay.
Maybe. We don't know, apparently, but that's from a quick wiki search, but... Again, the video I listened to, like, there's, like, not a child in the world.
All right. So any of our listeners, if you know the answer to this, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. But from at least two sources now, he might or might not have a child. I'm going to lean on that he doesn't and that he's just a god of pouring out. 100%.
Him and Dionysus would be best friends.
They're probably playing poker right now.
Actually, you know what? Zeus could learn some things from this man.
No. See, no. Zeus doesn't care.
You're right.
Zeus is the follower. Yeah, like, that's a tall order.
Yeah. Zeus never met a condom that he liked a day in his life.
Okay, condoms. Wait. When you said that, I was thinking, like, wait, Zeus doesn't use condoms. Oh, wait. Is he saying that the women wear condoms?
No. I'm saying that Zeus says, fuck condoms. I'm not wearing condoms.
Yeah, he's like, no prophylactics for me.
I'm not pulling out.
Nah, he's basically like, I am a god. You deserve this.
Yeah,
which I created wrong.
I created Hercules, which gave you a badass TV show starring Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, but then it gave us a terrible TV show with young Hercules.
We don't talk about that on Fox Kids. We don't talk about that one. Yeah, it was on Fox Kids. So what?
Yeah, it was live action on Fox Kids. Saturday mornings. Right after Mystic Knights of Tirnanog.
Which was a pretty good show.
Yeah, that one was actually pretty good. Get your Celtic lore in on there, too.
Exactly. I mean, we find out Maeve is their mother.
Right. I mean, forgot about point. That.
I literally remember that scene. Where it's like him and the guy, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant here, or a tangent, but I barely talk about this show, but I particularly remember the scene where the main dude, and like some dude, he had yellow skin and black armor. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna find out the main bad guy of the whole thing was their mother. It's like, oh no, such a plot twist.
Wait, that it was their mother, and none of them looked like brothers or sisters.
Oh no, we're on the TV budget.
Yeah, so it was like these siblings who clearly were not related at all.
I mean, considering that the other guy was yellow, I mean, at least I remember him being yellow with red eyes.
Oh like, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, him and the main guy were brothers, and Maeve was their brother.
Okay.
Yeah, but I remember that scene in particular. Because it was such a cool twist, at least in my young brain it was.
Yeah. It was a cool twist back then that, oh yeah, our mom's the bad guy, so do you want to help your mom, or do you want to commit matricide?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, no, this is fine, because it's some show
from the mid-90s.
That lasted, what, maybe at most two seasons, probably?
It might have lasted two seasons, but that's it. Also, yeah. Escafone was in the mix somewhere around that time, too.
Yeah, Escafone, which is one of the reasons why I need to just stop playing and just finish that series, because I really did like Escafone.
Oh, you too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Back on topic, though.
Talking about Metabots, though. No, I'm joking.
Wow. Okay. So, the last one that I had was, like, it's called the Kishi. It's a very attractive young man. Very handsome. Has a hyena on the back of his head. And what he tries to do is get women to fall in love with him so they can become dinner.
I was going to say, is he a narcissist? But he's not a narcissist.
I would think that that's narcissism.
I mean, I'd say that's more of like a Byron-esque type of god.
Well, I would say more probably like an incubus. Like a sucker incubus sort of thing.
Yeah.
It does seem to have some semblance within it with the lore of an incubus.
Yeah.
More like in South America, you got the Boto legend, which is... You know, the legend of the dolphins that occupy certain parts of the Amazon River that shapeshift and seduce a woman and then drag them into the river.
Knowing dolphins, that would not surprise me if that was true.
Oh, yeah. Dolphins can be fucking evil, especially orcas.
Oh, yeah. See, the reason why I said dolphins of all.
Orcas are sadistic bastards.
So the reason why I say it's Byron's is because, like, I'm thinking of, like, oh, I'm attracting you with, like, something beautiful. Like, for them, there's a song and, of course, their face, how the way they look.
No, I understand why you hit a siren.
Yeah, like, for him, it's, like, his looks and then on the back of my head, which, like, the toys of old, I can switch my head to a hyena.
Bro, I just, when you said that, I just imagine his legs being squeezed together and face just turning around.
I mean, that's how Voldemort did it in the Philosopher's Stone.
He just pulls his legs together? That's impressive.
Wait, no, he was on the back of somebody's head. No, not that part.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, him squeezing his legs together and then rotating his head, that's impressive. But
though
he was on the back of somebody's head, nah, loser.
Though I didn't see his legs in that scene. At least I don't remember seeing his legs in that scene, so you might be right.
I don't remember that movie. I think I've seen it once, and that was it, so, yeah.
Yeah, I need to stop playing and just go through a marathon.
Yeah, I've never seen them all, so I should just do that.
Like, the only one I haven't seen all the way through was Prisoner of Azkaban. And I'm not sure why I didn't see that one all the way through. Or, hell, even... I only saw, like, maybe the first 15 minutes, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got no idea either.
But, yeah, speaking of the Chamber Pot of Secrets, the Basilisk.
I was just thinking of the Basilisk.
Or the, what is it called? What's the alternative name? The
Cockatrice?
Cockatrice, yes.
Yeah, I had many run-ins with cockatrices while playing Final Fantasy VIII. I hate cockatrices. Yeah. I hate them so much. I not as much as I hate Marlboro, but I hate cockatrices so much.
Damn.
That's definitely an interesting mythological monster, because it's one of those where, I guess, depending on what age you're in or what culture you're in, it's either called a basilisk or a cockatrice, and the images and the way it looks
is different too. Yeah, because the cockatrice is, it's a big thunder chicken that turns you to stone when it looks at you.
Yeah, right. Like, the basilisk is just basically a giant serpent creature.
It's like a serpent dog.
Well, that's the thing, though. I could look this up real quick. But that's the thing, like, it shares the name with, like, a big-ass rooster. A big-ass demonic rooster, too.
Wait, the basilisk?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they share a name.
I didn't know it shared a name.
Yeah.
I knew the similarities were there, but I didn't know it shared a name. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those where, like, I think they stem from each other. So yeah, it says here, a venomous snake that can kill with its gaze alone, the basilisk has terrified us for thousands of years, but it also has another name, the cockatrice. That's right, the reptile chicken hybrid creature and the poisonous snake are actually the same monster. This is from PBS.
Thanks, free television. Yep. Donate to PBS.
Yep, PBS has been educating me since I was a child, so.
Yep, also donate to us.
Yes, please.
But I said that earlier, so.
You did. Stop repeating yourself.
I'll never do that.
One podcast later.
Right.
But yeah, there's that's like one myth that's like somehow, some way, which is probably just due to like culture and people mixing and meshing, and of course the hearsay from history, that they tend to stem from each other for some reason, even though they're two like drastically different creep type of creatures.
Yeah. I mean, one's exactly a reptile. The other one is just a dinosaur.
Right, but they're both called similar names.
Yeah. I'm wondering if like whatever culture had the basilisk at first, if they split off and the place that developed the cockatrice didn't have snakes like that. Maybe. But they had birds. So I could see them saying, yeah, that's a cockatrice. It's like a basilisk, but it's a bird.
Right. Because I always knew a basilisk as like the snake, because I learned what that was from Harry Potter. It was in the Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw, like, I forgot what game I was playing, but when I saw when they used the name basilisk and it turned out to be like a giant rooster, pretty much a cockatrice, I was like, wait, what the hell? They look into it, they come to find out, again, it's just, I know for me, it's a little bit like confusing. That's why I call the cockatrice the rooster version, the basilisk the snake.
Mm-hmm.
Is that confusion? But it seemed like they just share lore.
Wait, did you just give the basilisk and the cockatrice the M. Bison Balrog treatment.
Yes. Yeah. Because fuck this computer.
That's hilarious.
But it really does make sense. Like, various cultures have various similar views on certain monsters that no doubt stem from certain phenomena that have occurred.
Yeah, I mean, just look at dragons. They're essentially the exact same creature everywhere around the world, but they all look different and might not breathe fire.
Yeah, or they may. But any other entities you guys want to talk about?
I had a couple.
What's up?
One that's actually pretty unique. It's a creature that's native to Peru, called a pistaco, which is the literal translation is a fat sucker.
That's funny.
I don't know. Like, it's such an interesting little creature. Because I remember that one episode of Supernatural that talks about them. But it basically is something that a lot of native ethnicities in Peru use to in a way parody the conquistadors.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really dates back to the Spanish occupation. Here it is. Pistaco is an evil monster-like creature, often a stranger and often a white man, who seeks out unsuspecting native to kill them and abuse them in many ways. And it's primarily the method of killing them is stealing the victim's body fat for various cannibalistic purposes, or cutting them up and selling their flesh as fried chicharrones.
You know what? They did say human tastes like pig.
Hey, chicharrones are chicharrones. They're so nice, you fry them twice. It's true.
Yeah.
You gotta fry them twice to get that crunch.
That's exactly how you get that crunch.
Gotta get that crunch, baby.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not chicharrones, just bacon.
But I like bacon, too.
Do you like boiled bacon, though?
God, no.
Exactly.
Is boiled anything ever really good?
Eggs.
I'd argue that. I'd argue that.
I like the whites, not really the yolk.
I'm a yolk guy.
Yeah, that's like, I never really liked hard-boiled eggs. Like, even now, I'm like, no, I prefer this in my skillet rather than my pot.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree with you.
I like all manner of eggs, though.
So. Yeah. I just like eggs.
What did hard-boiled eggs ever do to you guys?
I mean, keep in mind, like, I was never a fan of egg by themselves for a long time.
Yeah, I just didn't like the yolk.
But even then, like, I knew for a fact, like, I didn't like the yolk. Yeah, the yolk part is, like, not a fan. Though, when you make them deviled.
I do love deviled eggs, and, oh my god, so good. I know people hate on deviled eggs, but... You're just lying to yourself. Stop being a bitch. Eat the deviled egg.
Jeez, bro, that's so aggressive.
It is.
Well, do what Thomas says, or else he'll come to your house.
Pull your house.
And probably feed you deviled eggs.
So many deviled eggs.
Well, go ahead, Brian.
I actually have a Tamagoyaki pan. It's been a while since I've used it. Anyway, the next one I'm going to talk about comes from, and this probably also falls into the incubus theory as well, or even the Baku Baku.
Religious theory. Yeah.
It's from this this comic based off a novel called Not Even Bones by... Who is that author again? Rebecca Schaefer.
I remember hearing that name before.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel style adaptation of the novel by Alai Isinereo. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I apologize to anyone who might be offended by this pronunciation. Want to say that's. You know, I'm not even gonna try. But basically, it's set in a world where people are aware of the supernatural or supernatural creatures, except they label them as unnaturals, and they're basically not treated as living beings. They're treated almost like livestock because they have a police force dedicated to dealing with what's called unnatural or non-human related crimes, and they're often rampantly sold on the black market and literally just treated like a piece of livestock.
This sounds a lot like Mega Man X.
And it's like, oh, this person's kidneys will fetch a high price. Oh, this person has a horn that you can grind into cocaine.
The human horn. Oh, no one watched. Oh, I was about to say, no one watched Futurama.
Wow. No. but no, it's just a unicorn horn.
Oh, that's horn. Less. Well, maybe that might be more fun than human horn.
Then again, is there unicorn mayonnaise in this world? I do not know.
Oh, okay. I don't even want to think about unicorn mayonnaise. It probably tastes like spring coffee.
So much for getting that. Robot chicken, everybody. Anyway, there's a creature, I guess a category in there called a Zanni. I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. Z-A-N-N-I-E. And basically this individuals are a lot of mystery in how they're actually born, but basically they are just literally feed off the pain and suffering of others. Seeing people in pain, like say someone cuts themselves accidentally, a little kid falls off his bike and scrapes his knee. That's sustenance for these guys. And so because of this, more often than not, these Zannies actually inflict the pain and suffering themselves. And because of this desire for pain and suffering, they get really good at making people suffer and be in pain, which makes them really good at torturing people. And, you know, governments and criminal organizations, that sometimes they really need to torture people. And so these guys are pretty well sought after by like the worst humanity has to offer. And they, you know, basically they get to live and they get to eat because they literally eat off of inflicting pain onto people. And there's a lot of similarities to the creatures that, like, you know, feed off of, I guess what you could say, the essence of another person.
I mean, that's a lot of just creatures.
That's kind of like I've heard, so since we are speaking about supernatural creatures, and you just said that reminded me of a show called Lost Girl. It's a Canadian show. The main character is a succubus. They have tons of different supernatural creatures throughout this show. It's a good show. Watch it. Whatever you could, wherever you can find it. I have no idea where you can find it to watch it.
Yeah.
But that's basically what happened when the main character, Bo, wanted to feed off of someone. Yeah, she can eat regular food and everything, but to actually, like, satiate her, she would have to feed off the energies of other people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of stuck.
Well, I mean, yes and no. She had a couple of people who were like, hey, I need to, you know, feed right now. Hey, you're a succubus. Come on, let's go. Yeah, my cousin and I got into it real heavy. This was probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
How many seasons?
It's 5 seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a nice long show.
And I never heard of it. That's not ringing any bells.
It is pretty good.
That's a success. That's quite the successful run on even in this day and age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. So definitely give that a watch. It's, you know, more for the supernatural thing.
Yeah. Cool. I'll definitely check it out.
Do you have anything else, Bri?
I guess I have one character from a slightly well-known anime, which would be I, Enma, from Hellgirl, which is literally what she is, and is literally what the anime is called, because she's basically a little girl who sends assholes who deserve the worst punishments to hell. Or rather, she sends whoever certain people deem deserve to go to hell. So the way it works is, people in the anime, you know, they're suffering, or someone they know is suffering from someone they don't like, or vice versa. And then I and her assistants show themselves, and they give you a deal. If you really want this person to suffer, if you really want this person to die and go to hell, just pull the string off this little straw doll. And then, you know, I and her posse show up, you know, and they do all this fucked up squad shit, and then she sends them to hell. But the catch is that your soul is now bound to hell. Like, literally, when you die, you're going to hell. So you got your revenge, but you're still going to hell because you killed a person.
Right.
So basically, everyone's going to hell. But it's just an interesting phenomenon about what type of creature she is, because she was literally just once a little girl in the 1600s who got buried alive by the assholes in her village because superstitions led to human sacrifice, because it was like a Children of the Corn scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And her and her parents were basically buried alive. She escaped, was angry, and wanted vengeance, and so she burnt the village to the ground and everyone inside hide the houses. And then the so-called god of hell cursed her, and now she's cursed to be the Hell Girl forever.
Could have been worse. She could have been a Ghost Rider.
Or a Hellspawn.
Man.
Although, I see those as, like, very similar.
I was going to say, like, what is a Hellspawn exactly? Because isn't it just like, oh, I'm just a demon that came from hell or created, that was created?
No, you're a soul. You're a soul that was forcibly expelled through hell by dark magic. And now you're forced to serve the person who cast the magic.
Well, I thought that had to happen in hell, like, you turn into some kind of creature, no?
Yeah, like, that's my thought too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, basically,
Spawn's basically a zombie.
I mean, technically. He's also
vampires are technically zombies.
Right.
Indeed.
Hell, Jesus is a lich.
Yeah. Like, literally, if you died and just came back, you can consider yourself as some kind of zombie. Now, your powers differentiate, of course.
Exactly. But a zombie is a zombie. Mummies are zombies, people.
Like, if you died and was resuscitated and came back to life, you're technically a zombie.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess we can end it on that note.
Well, I mean, I was going to talk about Hisako real quick, too, as like the final thing, because We are going along. Okay, so honorable mention, Hisako, Killer Instinct, 2013. Go play the game.
Yep. Still Hisako, go play the game.
Yep.
Let's see. Fucking Ryuk, Death Note, all of Death Note, go watch it.
Yeah.
Yu Yu Hakusho, go watch it.
Also, I saw that there was like two 15-minute episodes that came out. I don't know how recently it is, but it was pretty recently because the animation is new. Looks amazing.
Okay, so I wasn't tweeting. I was like, is this something I missed? Oh, wow.
No, it's not. Okay. It was like one of the episodes is basically Yusuke getting the gang back together after the whole Demon World tournament.
Okay, because I'm like, I thought that was like some kind of fan thing.
I thought it was at first too, and then I was listening to the voices and was like, oh no, these are the right voices.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go back and talk about.
So it's that one, and then a story about how Kurama and Hiei met.
Okay.
And that's pretty dope.
I know, I saw that one. I didn't know like I saw the thumbnail. I'm like, oh, you look Hiei. But okay, now that I know what they are, I'm definitely gonna go back and watch those.
Yeah, check those out. I'm gonna say that any of the mold from Resident Evil, supernatural creature,
who from Resident Evil,
made by science.
Which one? I'm sorry.
The mold.
Yeah.
Even though it's made by science, the mold.
Yeah. Technically, yeah. Because I'm like, thinking back to Resident Evil 8, where they reference literally all the classic monsters, it's like each one of those has a scientific explanation, but they still act paranormal as hell.
Yeah.
Like, viruses are just the superpowers. They're the X gene of Resident Evil.
Oh! Wait, you can that just means Sinister was right all this time.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't wrong.
No, he absolutely wasn't wrong. He was completely right, and he's proven that on many occasions. He's one of the villains that I actually respect because he's smart enough to know that he's right.
So does Frieza.
Frieza's just the strongest.
But anywho, all right, guys, we can end it there.
Okay, yeah, we'll end it on Frieza, seeing as how he's not a supernatural creature.
Yeah, so we'll end right there on Frieza, the most supernatural of the supernatural creatures. He technically was an angel or a devil or a spirit, so he counts.
Oh crap, he was dead for that whole tournament that he was fighting living people. He was a zombie for... Oh, God. Okay.
He wasn't Frieza a zombie. Not a zombie. That was his soul.
So, he was a specter.
Yes.
Or a wraith.
Yes. Or whatever you want to call him. I choose to call him a spirit.
Okay. I'm going to go with specter or wraith.
But, all right, Brian, take us out. Bri?
Hello?
Yes?
You sound far away.
Bri?
Hello?
You sound very far away.
How about now?
Now you sound
far away and garbled.
Yeah.
You're a little bit closer, but still garbled.
I think it's mainly the garbling that's fucking him up.
Yeah.
Give us like 10 minutes for Brian to give us a outro.
Yep. So, until then.
Okay. How about
there
now?
There we go.
Way better.
Yeah, much better.
Okay. Thank you all once again for listening. We're about to punch out so you all can punch in. Be sure to like, follow, share, and please, always appreciated, never expected, but consider donating. Thank you all once again for listening. This is once again been the Night Shift Bandits.
Peace.
Laters.
Bye-bye.